Hello, Thrive Nation. Welcome to the Made to Thrive show. And on this episode...
So I'm in my middle 30s. I have a couple kids, a couple dogs, married. I'm always busy. I'm always running. And family is very important to me. So I try to put them first. Well, when I put others first, it put myself last. And so I was having a hard time working out, which means I had to get up earlier to work out. And then trying to work out in the morning doesn't work very well, especially when you're tired, trying to run through life. And with Katsu, I've been able to get the same workout that I used to get in a fraction of the time. I don't put the near amount of stress on my body. You know, when I was younger, I liked to lift heavy. You know, I wanted to like put size on. And now that I've matured a little bit, I'm not really into the size, but I still want to be healthy. I still want to be lean. I still want to get rid of my hip pain. And I still want to be able to chase my kids around when they want to play with me. Mm. And so by using Katsu, I've been able to shorten my workouts, get a great workout, and I don't put as much mechanical loading and mechanical stress on my body. So my joints actually feel better.
Hello, Thrive Nation. Welcome to the show. I'm Steve Stavs, Africa's pro biohacker. Today's episode is about muscle, strength, endurance, recovery, repair, and everything to do with training your body without causing any injuries. I use this piece of equipment every single day, and everybody needs one. With over a year of incredible musculoskeletal results, I cannot highly more recommend it, and it's my number one exercise biohack. It's called Katsu, and it's Japanese biotech at its best. We've previously had the American founders of Katsu Global on the show, and it would be a great idea to listen to that episode first, and it's episode 30. There'll be a link in the show notes. And today we have a specialist Katsu health hero, Dr. Corey, on the show to go deep into the weeds on all the applications of Katsu. He's a Katsu advocate and a doctor of physical therapy. We explore the power of Katsu's unique cycle mode, how Katsu increases muscle strength without hurting joints, why Katsu is for everyone, getting a supernatural muscle repair while working at your PC or while cooking dinner. And yes, it's very true. The repair mechanism on this piece of exercise equipment is incredible. Recently, my son has got into using the repair mode or cycle mode more and more. Katsu's ability to promote repair, recovery, release growth hormone, VEGF1, IGF1, and improve your HRV, building bulk or muscle with Katsu, and how Katsu increases muscle strength without hurting joints. So join the Thrive community by subscribing to our newsletter on our website, madetothrive.co.za, and find us on Facebook at Steve Stavs ZA, Made to Thrive ZA. On Instagram, we've got some really cool content, Steve Stavs ZA, LinkedIn at Steve Stavs. My YouTube channel's growing, Steve Stavs. And to make it even easier for you to engage with me, send me a WhatsApp to 064-871-0308. I would love to hear your feedback, answer your questions, and walk a health journey with you. Always remember, delight in your purpose and be surrounded. Hello, Thrive Nation. I've got an incredible guest. He's Dr. Corey. I'm so looking forward to this interview. I've been waiting a long time for this very, very unique individual. He's a doctor of physical therapy. He's got so many letters behind his name. It's so encouraging because he's one of the true pioneers in the physical therapy world on Katsu, blood flow modification. Here are the bands for you guys on YouTube. Give me your feedback. We're going to cut these little clips for social media. Welcome to the Made to Thrive show, Dr. Corey.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Now, Dr. Corey, just tell me, please, how did you get involved with Katsu? What is your background in terms of your education? Because I think this is so important. People have never heard of blood flow modification. What they have heard is about the tourniquets and the damage that's caused out there. Tell us your backstory and how you got involved with Katsu.
Well, Steve, I'm a physical therapy doctor, and I started out as a strength coach. I went to the University of Florida. I got a degree in physiology and kinesiology. I got out, I worked in professional sports, and then I realized I needed to get more education and learn more. I was hungry. And so I went to University of Central Florida, got my doctorate in physical therapy, And then I did a residency in orthopedics and became a board certified orthopedic clinical specialist. And I always have my ear to the ground. I'm always looking for new things, looking for great ways to improve my patient care. And, you know, ultimately I like to integrate the musculoskeletal and the neurocognitive aspects and try to just, you know, improve every aspect of everybody's life. You know, you can't just fix one thing at one time. You got to kind of work on the person as a whole. And so I met a Navy SEAL and he told me that I should try KAATSU. And so I did. And then there were so many questions I had. And I said, hey, you know, I got all these questions, like where, you know, there are so many research papers coming out of Japan. There's so much cool evidence. It's like, where is the drawback? Like, where is the, like, what's wrong here? Am I missing something? And he says, no, you know? And so he said, if you have a lot of questions, you know, you need to meet Dr. Sato. And so I had the privilege to go to Tokyo. And I was trained by Dr. Sato himself, and he taught me how to use KAATSU. And it was funny because he was so nice when we first sat down to talk. He said, so do you have any questions? And in my head, I had like 1,000 questions going through my head. I was like, okay, just come up with one. And I was like, well, how does KAATSU, you know, interfere with medications or blood pressure? And he's like, well, you know, the more you use KAATSU, the less medications you should eventually take. And I was like, okay, I guess I got a lot to learn. So that was in 2018, I think, when I went to Japan, and I use it. I've been using it ever since. I use it every day on myself, patients, friends, family, everybody.
Brilliant. Sounds like an incredible story. Now, personally, in terms of your own athletic ability, give us a little bit of a testimonial in terms of what it's done for you, because I really enjoyed your videos online on the KAATSU blog. We'll put it in the show notes. But tell the listeners, what's happened to you when you started using KAATSU?
So I'm in my middle 30s. I have a couple kids, a couple dogs, married. I'm always busy. I'm always running. And family is very important to me. So I try to put them first. Well, when I put others first, it put myself last. And so I was having a hard time working out, which means I had to get up earlier to work out. And then trying to work out in the morning doesn't work very well, especially when you're tired, trying to run through life. And with KAATSU, I've been able to get the same workout that I used to get in a fraction of the time. I don't put a near amount of stress on my body. You know, when I was younger, I liked to lift heavy. You know, I wanted to like put size on. And now that I've matured a little bit, I'm not really into the size, but I still want to be healthy. I still want to be lean. I still want to get rid of my hip pain. And I still want to be able to chase my kids around when they want to play with me. Mm. And so by using KAATSU, I've been able to shorten my workouts, get a great workout. And I don't put as much mechanical loading and mechanical stress on my body. So my joints actually feel better.
Wow. It sounds like an incredible biohack, you know, getting the same benefit, you know, in less time, but it sounds too good to be true, Dr. Corey. I mean, how do these bands and this cycle mode, and we're going to talk about the cycle mode and the training mode, how does KAATSU actually work?
So the one thing about KAATSU that no one else can do is the cycle mode. And so what Dr. Sato found was that when you apply a stress on the body for a long period of time, you know, it pushes back the Hansele, the gas principle. So your body responds to stress. So when you do the cycle mode, you're able to stepwise intermittently increase pressure and then relax, increase pressure and relax. So it helps your body accommodate that pressure and that stress a little bit easier. Some of the other systems, you know, they try to put that sustained pressure on there first, and that can be a lot on your body, the physiology, even the nervous system, you know, has a hard time bouncing back from that. So with the cycle mode, you know, I like to equate that to like going for a walk. You know, you're taking your veins for a walk because it's nice and light. You do it multiple times a day. You can do it before you go to bed. It helps you relax. And that really improves the blood flow throughout your body. Now, after you do the cycle mode, you can also go to the constant pressure mode where you restrict that, you put that pressure on, and then you can go for like a higher rep scheme with like minimal weight. When you do that, that basically tells your body that you're exhausting your muscles. Your muscles are fatigued. They need help. And so your muscles send that signal saying, hey, look, we need help. We need to ramp up protein synthesis. We need to mobilize energy, get stuff out of there because our muscles are tired. We're running out of gas and need help. So it's a way of telling your body you're getting a harder workout without having to lift heavy weights or go for long runs or go for sprints.
Brilliant. So that's the cycle mode, the training mode, and the training mode, you put less pressure on the joints, which has been incredible in terms of, you know, my work and my athletic sort of history. I've run 11 Comrades marathons. It's a 56-mile race. It's the biggest ultra marathon in the world. So run 35,000 kilometers in the last 25 years, Dr. Corey. So I really need to look after my joints. And I think that's what Katsu's done for me, is it's really got my muscles to work out harder without placing stress on the joints and causing injuries. Is that your experience as well?
Yeah. So it's, you know, when you think about going for long distance runs, you know, you think about your step rate, you know, how many steps are you taking, and extrapolate that over, you know, that's a long way to run. And then uneven ground, whether you're on concrete, your shoes, you know, there's all these other factors that play a role. And then over time, you know, it's going to wear down to the joints, and it's going to wear out your knees, it's going to wear out your back. And one of the best things about Katsu is it helps promote blood flow throughout the body as well. So even though the bands are on the limb and it's reducing the venous outflow, it's still triggering the expansion and constriction of the veins, you know, throughout your body as well, to help accommodate that pressure in the limb. And so you're improving the circulation throughout your body, so you can help remove that metabolic waste. You can help get fluid in and out of those muscles, so you just keep things nice and healthy.
Great. Let's take a little bit of a deeper dive on what actually the band does from a flow, because it you can see I've been using it for a while, and you can see the muscles nice and pumped. But it stops venous flow back to the heart. It doesn't stop arterial flow. That's very, very important. And that's one of the most important benefits of Katsu, because it is so safe. So give us exactly the physiological process of what happens regarding the blood flow.
So Dr. Sato, he found this out the hard way. He experimented on himself what worked and what didn't. You know, he used bicycle tires, he used rubber straps, he put bands around all parts of his body, and he did all the hard work so that, you know, it would be safe for people and be comfortable. And whenever you're doing any sort of exercise or anything at all, you always want to make sure that every piece of tissue in your body is getting blood. If the body's not getting blood, then it's not going to survive. And so the arteries are deeper in your limbs, and the veins are a little bit more superficial. So with the Katsu bands, they're so superficial, and because of the rounded nature of the actual inner bladder part, all it's doing is putting a little bit of pressure on those superficial veins. So it's kind of slowing down the venous outflow. Doesn't mess with the arterial inflow. You can pump them up to as high as they'll go, and you still get blood in that limb no matter what. Now, you are reducing the blood out of the limb. So what that's going to do is that's going to kind of expand those veins. It's going to trigger all those mechanoreceptors, and it's going to start that anabolic process of saying, hey, look, these muscles are tired, they're fatigued, and they need help, while you're still getting the blood flow in and out. Also, you know, you think about our vascular system as a closed loop, because we're not actively really bleeding. There's the lymphatic system and the capillary beds, but it's primarily a closed loop of blood flowing through your heart, through your lungs, and through your body. And when one area of your body senses a change in pressure, the rest of your body has to also change that pressure by dilating, constricting blood vessels to accommodate those changes. So while you're getting that constriction or dilation in your limb, the rest of your body systemically is also being affected. So it's a full body workout.
Wow. Now, I did have Stephen Minutonis, and I did have John Doolittle on the podcast as well, and we'll put the link in the show notes there. But in Dr. Corey Kern's history, experience with patients, clients, the legalities, how safe is Katsu?
And so that was one of my first concerns. You know, when you first see something like this, you think, okay, what could go wrong? You know, in the physical therapy world, that's what I have to think of. I have to think of everything that could go wrong. I have to think of the worst case scenarios, and I have to help my patients plan for that. And that was one of the reasons why I had so many questions for Dr. Sato before I would even use it on any of my patients or my family or my friends or even myself. I want to know, how far is too far, what's too much, and where does it go wrong? And after reading through the research, after trying on myself and seeing it done on other people, your body, as long as it's having that blood flow in and out of your arm, in and out of your leg, then you are getting blood flow, and that tissue is going to be fine. Now, over time, you can check your capillary refill time. And if you feel that, you know, you may be a little uncomfortable, or if that capillary refill time starts to decrease a little bit, then you just simply take them off and it goes right back to where you started from. So honestly, I keep trying and I test myself. I don't know if you've watched some of those videos, but I'll push myself to a point where I start to feel slightly uncomfortable because my muscles are fatiguing, and then I'll take the bands off and it comes right back. So of course you have to, you know, be cautious with anyone with high blood pressure, anyone with heart problems. You know, there's a lot of those unknown variables that we just don't know, but with the cycle mode, it's a slow, steady buildup. So you can start low and gradually work yourself up. And if you watch the person and you monitor that patient closely, then you can safely work your way up through the cycles and it should be okay.
Brilliant. And we'll put a link to the website page where you got all those videos. Just to test your capillary flow, do you place just and you just see that it fills up like that? You can see it. How long should it take for the blood to refill so it's gone from white to red there? I've been using carts now for about 30 minutes on cycle mode.
Yeah. So you'll see, you know, when you press on your hand without the bands on, you'll notice it comes back fairly quickly if you're a healthy individual. And once you have the bands on, that'll slow down a little bit over time. Anything over like 3 to 5 seconds, say, okay, let's give this a break. Let's take a break for, you know, a few minutes and then try it again. So once you get to that range where you push down on your palm and that white stays white for more than 3 to 5 seconds, you say, okay, let's take a break, take the bands off. But honestly, you know, in a healthy individual or even someone with some physical impairments, you will feel sort of a muscle fatigue before you even get to that point.
Great. What about numbness and paresthesia and tingling in the hands? What sign is that? Because that's happened to me a few times. And then I just release the pressure, especially in training mode. Is that a sign to say, okay, hang on, now we got to just release the pressure?
Yeah. If you feel any sort of adverse reaction of numbness, tingling, anything like that, then yeah, you know, you can take the bands off, release the pressure, and maybe even dial it down, you know, dial it back a little bit. Are you doing too heavy of a weight? Are you moving too much? Are you giving your body enough rest in between sets? And that can definitely happen. With the narrow bands, one argument is it causes some sort of superficial nerve damage. Now, when you look at that research, most of that research actually looks at more of a rigid rectangular band. And again, the good thing about katsu is there's a lot of pads on there because it's more of a rounded dome inner bladder, so that when it puts pressure on the actual limb, it's more of a rounded edge that's putting pressure on your limb. So it doesn't have that abrasive strap-like division or that sort of barrier in your arm that puts pressure on those nerves. So yeah, if you do start to feel any sort of numbness, tingling like that, cut the pressure, take them off, relax a little bit, you know, move around, see how it goes, and try it again. Hopefully that's gone. If it's not, then give it a day or two and try it again later.
Brilliant. Now, this is the golden question, Dr. Corey. I've put it on cycle mode. You can start seeing I'm getting a little bit of a pump. I'm using my computer, I'm answering emails, I'm getting, you know, just doing internet work and connecting with people on, you know, paying bills and that. Am I actually getting a workout while I've got it on cycle mode and I'm busy typing on my computer? Or is that just a fallacy and it's too good to be true? Because I need to ask this question clearly, because people say, oh, you've got to be active. But typing on my keyboard or using my mouse or just doing office work, having the katsu cycle mode on, what is exactly happening from a functional point of view in the muscle? And is it worth doing that?
Yes. Oh, yes. You know, that's one of the best things about it is you can do it, you know, while you're doing just, you know, activities of daily living, while you're at home, while you're typing, while you're cooking, cleaning. You know, I'll put it on while I'm sweeping my pool outside. And yeah, so with the cycle mode, what's happening is when it puts that pressure on the venous system in your arm or your leg, it's expanding because of that blood pooling and engorgement. And what's doing, it's stretching that middle layer of the veins, which is a smooth muscle layer. And as that stretches and then the pressure relaxes, it comes back down. So you have this intermittent stretch and then relax. And what that's doing is that's creating you're using calories, you're using energy to do that. So it's just like we talk about, you know, your resting metabolic rate, you know, your organs, your stomach, everything is using energy to keep functioning. And then when you apply katsu, you're still externally supporting that sort of mechanism, but you're just, you know, have a little bit more control over that. So you're doing it more often. So yeah, you're definitely burning calories. You're using muscles. You're getting the blood flow in and out, the nutrients, all that stuff. you know, if you think about it like a river, you know, you've got a very strong current flowing through the river. So there's all healthy, it's fish. You know, what happens is as we get older, we don't use our muscles and our lower legs very well. And we can develop like varicose veins and poor circulation. And by using katsu, that helps strengthen those venous walls a little bit better. And so that will improve the flow. So it's almost like turning on, you know, like some jets in the stream to help flush all that out.
Brilliant. And I know Dr. Satu did katsu on, I think, 7,000 cardiac patients. Tell us about the physiological effects of heart rate variability and what it does to blood pressure and just in terms of stress because of the parasympathetic nervous system that it engages.
Yeah, so that's one of the most intriguing things. You know, we were learning that blood flow restriction, it creates, you know, induces hypertrophy. You know, you're going to get stronger, you're going to build muscle. But I'm more of the concussion, neuro TBI side. I've had a lot of concussions. My father was a professional wrestler. So I've been in the world of head trauma for a very long time. And, you know, when you see a bunch of professional wrestlers get older and they have these sort of like cognitive neurological issues, you know, it's troubling. And so, okay. So when you put the bands on your arms, when you just put them down and strap them on without any pressure, it's slowing the blood flow back into your heart. And so there's receptors in your vascular system that picks up this decrease in blood flow. And what that's doing, it's triggering the vagus nerve and it's causing that parasympathetic response to kind of kick in. So because you're getting a little less blood flow in, it's starting to slow things down. It's starting to calm you down, saying, hey, you know, everything's calming down. Well, then when you turn the cycle on and that pressure kicks on, it's going to clamp even more blood. So now that same mechanical receptor that's picking up that drop in blood flow, now it's getting less. It says, hey, wait a minute, we're losing more blood. We need to fight or flight here. So we're going to ramp up our sympathetic activity. So then it goes into that fight or flight mode. So then once the cycle releases, then it kind of feels that flow back and it goes back. So you're literally externally controlling your heart rate variability through the blood flow restriction on your arm. So because of that drop and that increase in blood pressure coming back into the heart, your body is triggering that to pick that up and try to accommodate that. So you can actually get a better grip. That's why, you know, if you do katsu before you sleep, it helps you sleep. You know, we even found that using katsu for jet lag is tremendous. You know, a lot of our Olympic athletes are using that to reduce effects of jet lag so they can perform. So it's tremendous opportunities across the board for all kinds of things.
So would you say katsu using the cycle mode, you know, you can use it every day, helps with the lymphatic system?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, you know, when your arteries take blood to the host site, to the muscle, to the tissue, wherever it is, that tissue has a metabolic process. It uses the blood, whatever's in there, to do whatever the function is. And then it puts the blood back to the venous system, lymphatic system, and it drains it and circulates it through. Well, if you're improving that venous flow, you're going to improve the flow of the lymphatic system as well. So you're like clearing a roadblock. So it helps flush all that metabolic waste. It's great for active recovery and helping to recover after strenuous workouts.
Brilliant. And have you noticed that your athletes have complained less of, like, you know, delayed onset muscle soreness or DOMS the next day if they use katsu on the same day? Or what is your protocol with trying to sort of maximize repair and recovery?
So with DOMS, you know, when people have that DOMS pain is usually because, well, it's because you're tearing your muscle fibers. And so it's your muscles, kind of the inflammatory process where you're rebuilding those muscles. So you have that soreness of those torn muscles. Now with katsu, you're not really tearing any muscles because you're not using heavy weights, but you still get that metabolic activity. So someone that does have DOMS, someone that did do a heavy workout without katsu, katsu is great to help recover because you can take them through an active warm-up and active recovery. You're activating and using the muscles that were otherwise partially torn and that were, you know, disrupted. And katsu helps promote that blood flow quicker. So it helps move out the bad and bring in the good and keep that cycle going faster.
Brilliant. Now, if katsu doesn't cause this DOMS, then how does the hypertrophy work in terms of, you know, building size? Because, I mean, a lot of my patients and clients with Matthias Ryde, they want to build size and build muscle bulk. And obviously the problem with sarcopenia for, you know, the aged, folk, How does it actually build muscle size?
So, you know, the whole thing of if you don't use it, you lose it. And over time, you know, our bodies fall into these compensatory patterns where, you know, we walk and we go through movements and our body follows the path of least resistance. So we use things that are shortened, that are tight, you know, like our hip flexors and our quads over our glutes, things like that. So with Katsu, what it's doing is it's fatiguing the muscle quicker. So you're activating more of those motor units. So you're ramping up that muscle activation. So now the muscle is awake and it's ready to work. So you're not going to overuse some of those chronic issues. You're going to start using some of the bigger muscles or some of those other muscles that you don't use very often. So now you've got the muscle activated. If you continue to go through it and you keep doing the exercise and follow the protocols, those muscles fatigue. When those muscles fatigue, it triggers that physiological cascade saying, hey, you know, we're exhausted, we need help, it's trauma. If we don't get help soon, we're going to break down, it's going to be painful. So then your body starts to ramp up protein synthesis, and it goes through this whole metabolic process to where it dumps any sort of, you know, growth hormone, all these antibiotic kind of like metabolites throughout your body to help promote that growth of those muscles that are traumatized. But the problem is that it's more of a systemic effect. So it's not really localized. So even though you are exhausting muscles in your limb, you're getting a full body effect. So you still get that full body anabolic sort of, you know, mobilize energy, get protein where it needs to be, and you start to develop size and power.
So Katsu can develop size and strength. You don't actually need to tear the muscle like DOMS in other forms of exercise for you to build. And then it stimulates things like GH growth hormone and VEGF vascular endothelial growth factor. Tell us a little bit about the important hormonal effects, because growth hormone, as you get older, starts decreasing. That's important for the older population. How important is Katsu from a metabolic and hormonal point of view?
Well, it helps promote all those processes. You know, as we get older, you know, things start to dampen, things start to attenuate and slow down, and it gets harder to activate things. You know, our body gets tired, it gets worn out. And by using Katsu, it's very safe and low load so that you can use it multiple times a day. You can use it every day on the cycle mode. And that's going to help activate some of those processes a little bit more. You know, with growth hormone doesn't necessarily build huge muscles, but it does rejuvenate. It does help the cellular process of rebuilding cells and, you know, rejuvenation. So it helps improve, you know, the system as a whole, as opposed to, you know, just specifically building a whole bunch of big muscles. But in doing so, you're improving the efficiency of your entire body. And so what that's going to do is that's going to basically kind of make you feel young again.
Right. Sounds incredible. So cycle mode, in your opinion, you can do every single day or twice a day or three times a day on the arms and then the legs. Just take us through sort of what you do cycle mode wise and then how often you use the training mode.
So typically for myself, you know, you always want to start out with cycle mode on the arms if you can. You know, if you have any sort of reason why one arm shouldn't, you know, put a band on it for surgical reasons or anything like that, you can do one arm at a time. But you generally want to start with a cycle mode on your arms just to kind of prepare your body to kind of warm it up. And then you can put the bands on your legs and do cycle mode on your legs. Typically what I like to do for my workouts is I'll put the bands on my arms. I'll start with the cycle mode and I'll go through kind of like a dynamic warm-up. You know, I'll go through a basic push-pull, you know, go through some shoulder weight shifting, load bearing stuff, you know, just light movements to try to kind of wake up those muscles. Without the bands, it takes me a lot more to kind of get warmed up. But with the bands, the 4.5 minutes of one cycle on my arms and my upper body is ready to go. Then I'll put the leg bands on. I'll do a cycle with the leg bands on. And again, I'm going through a dynamic warm-up, doing some squatting, lunging, calf raises, you know, going through a three-point exercise to get that blood flow through there. After that, it depends on what my goal is for the day. If I want to do a great leg workout, I'll leave the bands on my legs and I can go to the training mode. And then I'll go through the, try to hit, you know, 30 reps and then 20, then 10, 15-ish and go to failure. Sometimes I will even leave the leg bands on. I'll turn the cycle mode on my leg bands and I'll do an upper body workout. with the leg bands on as well. And so while my leg bands are getting a good workout, I'll superset upper body exercises with lower body exercises and either go into a training mode or do the cycle mode for my arms and get a great full body workout that way as well. So it just kind of depends on what my goal is for the day. If I'm trying to, you know, I'll even lift heavy on the limbs that aren't banded. So some days I don't really lift heavy legs anymore, but if I feel like, you know, feeling frisky and I really want to do like a heavy upper body or a chest or even pull-ups, you know, I'll put the leg bands on and I'll work my upper body. So I'm still getting that cycle effect on my legs while I'm doing a heavier weight on my upper body. And then I'll put the bands back on my arms and then I'll kind of burn out my arms or my back or something like that as well. So it just kind of depends on what the actual goal of that session is how to use it.
Great. Now, sort of using weights, if you want to do squats and sort of heavy leg press and heavy deadlifts, is it pretty safe to put it on training mode and go very heavy? Does it accentuate the effect of those type of exercises in the gym?
No. And so, you know, that's the beauty of KAZU is that you don't need heavy weight. And you'll quickly learn that if you try to do that, your muscles get real tired really quickly. You know, that's one of the safety aspects of KAZU is that if you try to do that, you'll be fine. You're just going to be really tired and you won't nearly get as many reps as that you could. You know, if you can squat, you know, 300 pounds on your back, and you know, for 10 reps, when you put those leg bands on after like the second rep, you're gonna be like, whoa, my muscles are tired. And so, you know, Dr. Sato, he already found all that out. He tried all that. He tried to go heavy, he tried to go light. And so he's got all that research together that shows, hey, look, if you want to try that, you'll be okay. Your leg's not going to explode. You'll be fine. It's safe, but you'll realize that that's not really conducive to what you're trying to do. What he found is that you want to aim for a higher rep with a lower weight. And so you get that muscle fatigue, you get those repetitive muscle contractions. And that's what really promotes that anabolic muscle building sort of process.
Brilliant. Tell me about cadence, because I think this is important. And do you do explosive movements? Are they slow, controlled movements? How important is the eccentric load to go slowly? What's your view and your experience on cadence?
Well, our muscles tend to get, you know, you always say tend to get stronger during the eccentric phase. You know, the concentric, the push, you know, that's where you want to work on that speed. And I don't ever really like to veer off one side or the other. So I like to go fast sometimes, but then other times I like to go slow. So if it's something where you really want to work on more, you know, sports specific things, then yeah, you can do a slow controlled eccentric followed by a pause isometric and then a fast concentric if you want. And you'll feel that kind of response, that power and that quickness, you know, as those muscles fatigue. If you have the bands on and you're still working on some sort of explosive movement, as long as the weight is light, you'll still feel that kind of neural activation and you get a better control of those muscles. Now, if you just want to really try to work your muscles or you really try to want to get a good workout, you know, you can go through a slow, you know, 1 minute single rep push-up and you can, you know, try it that way. As long as you're, you know, going through some sort of movement, you know, when you do an isometric contraction, your muscles tighten up to a point that causes a change in pressure in your limb. So what they're finding is that, you know, with BFR, that the pressure changes in your limb is about the same as something like if you're doing a really hard, heavy isometric contraction in that same sort of muscle. So that's where the efficacy and safety comes into play is that, you know, if you're able to work out, then you're able to use KAZU. You know, that's just as simple as it is. And so, you know, for me, I like to go nice, slow and controlled. You know, I'll try to do like a 2 to 5 second sort of negative and then kind of go through and go nice and slow. But then every once in a while, you know, I try to go fast. I mean, I'm still fairly young and I want to be able to chase my kids and catch my dog. So yeah, every once in a while, I'll still, you know, I'll do, you know, jump rope with the leg bands on and I'll do some sort of, you know, explosive movement. But again, it's mostly like body weight and, you know, nothing any heavier than, you know, 5% of my body weight.
Great. And just tell us about age groups here. How young can, you know, at what age can you start KAATSU from a children, or, you know, there's children that have had sort of neurological fallout and, you know, they've had broken limbs and they're orthopedic patients, and then to what age you can use KAATSU, just so that the audience and the viewers can say, okay, well, I've got a 14-year-old or a 12-year-old, it's pretty safe.
You know, again, it goes back to that, you know, if you can lift weights and exercise, then it's a good chance that you can use KAATSU. You know, for someone who's a young child, you know, my kids are both under 10 years old, and we're working on developing those motor patterns and those movements. And I feel completely fine, you know, putting the bands on them if they wanted to, but I like to let them make it fun. Someone who's going through that adolescent change, someone's going through puberty, a lot of growth plates, a lot of changes, you know, sometimes young males, they kind of outgrow their body and they get too strong too quickly. You know, they sprout up real quick and their bones are trying to catch up. Mm. And so again, you don't want to go to the point of training mode to where you're really pushing those muscles to full exhaustion to fatigue, but you can use a cycle mode to help promote the blood flow, to help promote all the healing and help try and get things going in there. So again, you know, you kind of think about it as like, okay, so would you want this person to do a super heavy lift deadlift? You know, would you ask a 12-year-old, you know, female to do heavy deadlifts without training or warming up to that? No, you wouldn't. But what you could do is you could use KAATSU as a supplement to help get to that motor pattern and help use the cycle mode to help kind of promote the blood flow, to help activate muscles. And as they get better, stronger, then you can start to increase the intensity by going into more of the training mode and facilitating more of that muscle contraction.
Brilliant. Tell us a little bit about running and cycling with KAATSU, or walking or swimming. I found using KAATSU while I cycle, you know, quite beneficial on cycle mode, and on training mode is really difficult. On training mode, I'm like, after 10 minutes, I'm like, the quads are finished and the glutes are struggling. But what about running? I mean, I'm a runner. It's difficult to run with the bands. Can you run with one band? I didn't want to run with just one band on one leg, but I would love to run with them. It's just sometimes there's a bit of friction in between the bands. What is your view on those three sports?
Yeah, it is difficult to run sprints or do anything fast with the leg bands on, because again, you know, you've got those bands on your inner thighs. And so it is a little tricky to kind of get into that kind of rhythm. You almost feel like you're doing more of a wide stance. You know, KAATSU walking with the bands on with cycle mode is incredible. You know, there's all kinds of research taught to it. That's what they were doing with a lot of the cardiac patients in Japan, is they put the leg bands on and just have walk slowly. And they were finding improvement in blood flow into their head. You know, there's all kinds of stuff going on there with just putting the leg bands on and going for a walk. Now, if you want to try to go for a sprint, again, your muscles are going to get taxed and they're going to get tired very quickly if you try to do that heavy, you know, sort of muscle contraction. You know, when you're sprinting, you're pushing your full body weight through space at a very high rate. So there's a lot of power coming out through your leg with that single leg press. And so if you equate that to some sort of like a leg press, you know, how much force are you putting through that leg repetitively over time? And your muscles, they're going to fatigue. Now, same thing with like swimming or with like cycling. If you do the cycle mode while you're doing cycling, you can do that for a longer period of time. But as soon as you go to that training mode, your muscles are going to fatigue and you're going to run out of gas, and your muscles are going to get stronger and they're going to improve. And you're not going to have to spend the same amount of time on that cycle as you would to get to that point. You know, just doing KAATSU walking with the leg bands on improves VO2 max. And so just by using that improves your cardiovascular endurance. And then with swimming, you know, swimming's a tough sport if you're not a swimmer. And so when you put on the armbands and you try to swim a 50-meter warm-up with armbands on, you come out of the pool, you say, I feel like I just swim like a 500-meter. Like it does. It really gets your muscles tired. But then you take the bands off and you go right back into what you're doing, and you're still fatigued, but your muscles they're not torn. You don't have those sarcomere, the tearing. You don't have all that damage, the inflammation, you know, all that comes with traditional heavy resistance training.
Sure. Sounds incredible. A question I forgot to ask you, Dr. Corey, is how long should you use the bands on cycle mode a day. I think from what I remember, it's 15 minutes. That's what I've been telling patients and clients, is 15 minutes a day. That would be 15 minutes on the arms and then 15 minutes on the legs. Does that incorporate both cycle and training mode, like 30 minutes? You know, you don't want to go more than 15 minutes of training mode on the upper limbs and then 15 minutes of training mode on the lower legs. Give us a little bit of sort of the ins and outs of the time with CAR2.
So with the cycle mode, you know, we recommend not doing more than like 6 cycle sessions at once, you know, so it has the 8 rounds of inflation, deflation. So 8 rounds of that, it's about 4.5 minutes, give or take, depending on the pressure level. And so we recommend, you know, not doing more than about 6 rounds of that at once. And you can do that in the morning, you can do it in the afternoon, you can do it at night, but you know, you have to give your arms rest. You know, we've had people come to us and say, you know, I did 20 cycles. Like, wait, you know, you need to kind of slow down, give your body some time to relax, let it rest. Cause again, you are using, you know, your body. There is a physiological response. And whenever that happens, there's going to be a stress, you know, reaction. And so your body has to accommodate that. And as long as it's kind of that middle of road cyclical sort of pattern, you know, you can do a little bit longer. Now, when you do that sustained pressure, the training mode or the constant mode is when you have that, you fill up to a certain pressure and you leave that there. And that's really when it comes back to that whole 15 minutes for the arms, 20 minutes for the legs. Okay. Now, I can tell you personally that with the pressures that I use, I have never even been able to get 15 minutes on my arms without having hit the release button because my arms are so tired and they just feel just like toasted. And so you hit the release button, comes back, feels better. And then you can even kind of crank it back on and turn it back up and do another set. You know, that's what I do sometimes. When you leave those bands inflated, yes, you're getting that kind of response. You're getting the neurological response. You're triggering all these things to happen, but you'll feel tired. You'll feel like, oh, I need it. You know, I need to take a break. And if it's too much, you know, you can just turn the pressure down some and next session, you know, use a little bit less. You know, if you don't really feel a response that you're looking for, then you can slowly increase it. So as long as you're doing a cycle mode, you can do it, you know, longer than that 15 minutes. You know, you really don't want to go over, you know, let's say like 30 minutes. You know, it does seem like a lot after a while. You know, some people will do a few rounds on the legs. Some people do a few rounds on the arms. But, you know, think about it as like a typical workout. You know, you really don't want to work out for longer than an hour unless you're well-trained, you know what you're doing, you're well-hydrated, you're in good shape, you've got good sleep, and everything's going well. But again, you know, you have to listen to your body. You have to listen to what your body tells you. If it feels like your arms are getting tired or your legs, then, you know, take it off, give it a break, and then try it again later.
Brilliant. Just the sort of last chapter before we close is talk about the athletes. I think the swimmers that have broken American records. It seemed like CAR2 wasn't, there wasn't much of a profile like internationally or nationally. And, you know, I'm trying to, you know, when swimmers, you know, got the CAR2 bands on and they're breaking records, people start asking questions. What's happening with these high level athletes, these professional athletes with the world of CAR2?
Everybody's looking for an edge. You know, we are breaking records, you know, we're learning sports performance, we're learning, you know, sports psychology, you know, the whole your body can do 60% more than your mind tells you. You know, there's so many things that are out there that, you know, an elite high level athlete is trying to do the most, the best they can. And when they come across something that has benefits without harm, then, you know, there's, okay, well, how can I integrate this into my training program? And what they're starting to find is that, you know, using CAR2, one, helps activate muscles so you get better control, better coordination. And two, it's helping with active recovery so that you can recover faster. So a lot of these swimmers that have to do multiple swims, you know, during the week, you know, that's a lot of stress on your body. And by doing the CAR2 cycles, it helps control that heart rate variability. It helps improve sleep. It helps improve that hormonal balance. And so that enables them to perform at high levels more frequently. CAR2 has been around for a very long time. And it's just slowly starting to catch on that, hey, you know, this is something that can easily be implemented. You can throw it in your bag. You can take it wherever you go. It's small, simple, and safe.
So do you expect more and more the athletes coming out saying they're using CAR2? Because I've been surprised that it hasn't come earlier. Or what do you expect in terms of the future of CAR2 and these professional athletes?
You know, honestly, I think CrossFit is going to be a mainstay, a very common thing in all gyms and all exercise and all therapy in the next 5 to 10 years. You know, I think it's catching on like wildfire now. And, you know, just like most of us say, well, you know, where's the ceiling? What's the limit? What is too much? And that's what all this research is telling us, is that, you know, you can really use this in a multitude of different ways to get a bunch of different responses safely. You know, everyone's trying to find, okay, so, you know, who should I not do this on? Or, you know, how long if I fall asleep, you know, is my arm going to fall off, you know? And so you're finding that there's, you know, a lot of inherent safety mechanisms in this to enable a lot of people to use it. And I think that, you know, the more that other people see their competition using it, I think that over time, more and more people are going to be like, well, if he's trying that, I want to try that. You know, when you look at all the Olympians and when you start to say, well, why is he swimming so fast? What is he doing? Well, all things are fairly similar, but he's using this katsu. Well, let me try using katsu. And then you start to feel that kind of benefit and that response. Say, you know, I can push my body harder as I age and still get the same response without all the damage. So, you know, we're all getting older, and as we get older, it gets more and more difficult to move and to exercise. And by using this, this kind of helps slow things down, kind of turns back time so you can recover quicker, you can train more frequently so that you can perform better.
Brilliant. Now, one of the reasons I really wanted you on the show is I'm going to be sending this podcast to all my colleagues. I've lectured to over 10,000 medical professionals worldwide. I love lecturing postgraduately, but I've really hit a lot of resistance here in Africa. If you had just 2 minutes to try and convince physical therapists, biokineticists, chiropractors, doctors of Chinese medicine, personal trainers, what would you tell them?
Well, when you look at the body and you look at nature, you know, you think about circulation, you think about flow, you think about energy balance, you think about, you know, breathing. There's a lot of research on breathing mechanics, movement, all these different sort of, you know, domains and aspects around our body. And this is the one underlying river of life throughout our entire body. Now, there's a lot of products out there that, you know, try to do similar things. But the one thing that really draws me towards katsu is, one, years and years and years of research. You know, there's a ton of research all based on katsu. Katsu is the original BFR. And all this research is based on that. And all these other offshoot branches of these other devices are trying to mimic what was originally established. And the best thing about katsu is that it's so safe because you can start slow at a very low level and gradually work your way up. So you can use it on so many different populations, so many different people. And then, you know, sometimes I'll put it on someone and they say, well, that was it. I thought that was going to be a lot more difficult. I was kind of nervous. And I said, yeah, that was it. How do you feel? And I feel okay. And then so you can kind of slowly ramp it up. You know, some other devices, you know, they start at a limb occlusion pressure and they kind of dial it down. But with katsu, it's more of a ground up. So you can start slow and gradually build someone up. You know, it's like starting them on a treadmill, like, you know, 0.02, where you just get them walking slow. That's okay. Then, you know, hit the button, kind of increase a little bit more. And then you can start to see where they start to get that physiological benefit.
Brilliant. I thank you for your time, Dr. Corey. I declare favor and blessing over you. One day I really want to meet you because I think there's just so much in common that we've got. And when I'm in Florida, hopefully after the pandemic has passed us, I'm going to come and visit you and see my mentor, Dr. Hauser. But I just want to thank you for your calling, for your time. All your videos are really informative, and I'm trusting that katsu is really going to spread through Africa because I just think it's a true game changer. It's safe. It's effective. It's for everyone. And so, yeah, I look forward to partnering with you in this, you know, this international globalized world that's got smaller and smaller. Here you are in your car in Florida. We're having a conversation and a podcast about katsu. So I truly want to thank you and just thank you for who you are. I just sense you've got a beautiful soul, and you want to see people transformed, and you want to see people strong, and you don't want to see people suffering. And so thank you so much.
Well, thanks for your time, Steve. I really appreciate you reaching out. And, you know, I would love to come to South Africa. I don't know if that's going to happen anytime soon, but hey, I would love to see that place. If you're ever in Florida, yeah, give me a call. We'll meet up and do some katsu together.
Brilliant, brilliant. We hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Made to Thrive show. New episodes are released weekly and are published exclusively on the Made to Thrive podcast link. If you're interested in receiving more thriving insights, as well as receiving other exclusive member benefits, visit madetothrive.co.za/subscribe. This podcast is for general information purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice. No doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of this information and the materials linked to this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content on this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical condition they have, and they should seek the assistance of healthcare professionals for any such conditions.